try to have our Sunday school classes going and everything kind of functioning the way they have been. And we understand that certain people have different concerns, and so we understand if, you know, there's some hesitation with that, and we understand that, so don't worry about it. But we'll be getting back to normal here for those who can come and participate, and we're looking forward to it. And again, thank you for everyone here this morning. Let's read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. The title to the message is Those Who Guard, and it really is a good message for fathers. It's a good message for fathers. It's a good message for anyone, those who guard, but especially for fathers. So we can dedicate, although I wasn't thinking about it, we can dedicate this to the fathers. So Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Habakkuk is talking. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he, God, will say to me and what I will answer as his mouthpiece concerning my complaint against him. Now, that's what he's saying. I'm going to listen to you, God. I'm standing before you. I'm going to hear, and what you tell me, I'm going to serve as your mouthpiece, because I've said some things, and I don't understand what you're doing. And he's going before the Lord. Now, what we have here is we should relate to Habakkuk, I think, or at least I can relate to Habakkuk. Yeah? But Habakkuk is unique among the prophets. Of all the prophets, he's unique because he did not speak for God to the people. That's what the prophets did. They spoke for God to the people. Habakkuk didn't do that. What Habakkuk did, he spoke to God about the people. That's the difference with Habakkuk. He goes, oh my. And Habakkuk is questioning what God is doing concerning all the upheavals going on around him. I mean, everything around him just a mess. And he's asking God to explain to him what's going on. Now, this is appropriate for our day, is we ask, Lord, what is going on? Has that crossed anybody's mind recently? Like, what in the world is going on? Now, Habakkuk, after talking to God about everything that's bothering him, Habakkuk goes to his watchpost to hear God's answer. Okay, so he's emptied his heart, everything, and now he's finished. He's going to the watchpost to hear God's answer. Now, I want to just touch on this. What's fascinating, and I didn't know this. Okay, I saw this, and I thought this is really interesting to me. But the word watchpost, and it's pretty much translated like that in most Bibles. But the word watchpost here literally means those who guard. Those who guard. I'm going to my watch post. It's those who guard. I'm going where those who guard. Or it can mean, if you will, an obligation to guard. So Habakkuk said, I'm going to the place where I am to guard. He's going to hear from the Lord, but it's the place where he is to guard. So as one who guards, Habakkuk wanted to know what God is doing. Now, I think we can really embrace that. It's like, okay, we have a responsibility before God. I need to know what God is doing. See, that's what Habakkuk was saying. He said, okay, I kind of got this calling, this job. God, I need to know what you're doing in this situation. And so what we have here, and I think it's really encouraging, is that Habakkuk shows us something here, and he's revealed to us a mature wisdom in his determination that any response he should give would be shaped by what God himself would say to him. See, it's like, you know, it's like sometimes we can be too quick with a solution. Oh, I, you know, ever too quick with an attitude like, thus saith the Lord. You know, it's like, no, Habakkuk, before he did anything, he wanted to hear, before he said anything, he wanted what he said be shaped around what God told him. And so that's what he's doing right here. That's what he's doing. And so he went to his watch post to listen. To listen. And so it's a wise man who takes his questions to God and listens to God for the answers. I mean, that's the whole thing right here in this chapter 2, verse 1, and what Habakkuk is doing. And so I can kind of relate a little bit in that, like, I just go, God, what? And you just go through, you know, it's kind of a one-way prayer. I don't know if y'all do that. They do a one-way prayer. And sometimes I find out it's a one-way complaint, right? And it's like, you know, I think sometimes God tells me, he said, well, let's take a breath and I'll speak to you. You know, it's like, okay. Well, kind of this is what's happening with Habakkuk. You read the book of Habakkuk, and that's what really comes out. It's fascinating because he's going, man, this is not making any sense to me whatsoever. Now, so here we have this going before God, and he goes, I want you to show me what's happening. I need you to tell me something. Before I can say anything, I need you to say something. Okay, that's verse 1. What he does, what God does in verse 4, he gives him an answer. And we need to really think about the answer that God gives Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. God answers, and what God does, he identifies the core issue of the conflict. And God does it really succinctly. You know, whenever he shows me something, I can go on and on and on, you know. But when God shows me something, it's real short. He didn't have to go. I mean, it's just like a couple of words, and it's like, and you know, I don't say it, but you go, you nailed it, didn't you? See, when he chooses to say something, he doesn't have to give like a 5-page letter. It's like, no, boom, couple of words. And the thing of it is, when he does speak to you like that, you totally understand. You totally understand. You see what I'm saying? I feel led to share this with you. One time, I was actually in this sanctuary at night praying. I was praying. So I circle and I just walk around. This is nice to come in. You know, if you got a key, come in and they had nobody here. I mean, you do what you want to, holler, talk, walk around, you know. And so I was doing that. So I was praying and I said, and I'm not going into the issue, but I said, you know, God, you need to help me understand how I can get through and handle this. And I swear, before the Lord, it was like an audible voice. It wasn't an audible voice. It was came to my mind, but it was so distinct, it almost felt like an audible voice, right? And so I was walking around, and I said, God, just speak. And this is what he said. He goes, who do you love? Now, by the way, he meant him. And what he told me is like, your emotions are misplaced. Who do you love? You know, you want to add anything to that? You know, it was like, it answered everything. And when I saw that, it's like, you could only go like, oh. See, so I think when God speaks, he'll say something to you, and it doesn't take a lot of words. So here we got, this is what Habakkuk is doing. So God answers him. Look at what he says. Now, fascinating. He says, he identifies the issue of the conflict. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul is puffed up. Now he's talking about the king of Babylon, but we can apply it here. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith. Now that's God's answer. Okay, now with the rest of it, we read all, it's still Habakkuk talking. Okay, but this is like God's answer. Okay, this is the answer. See, Habakkuk is 3 chapters long. All right, it's 3 chapters long. God's answer is like a verse. You know, it's like, so he gets this. Overall, it's a verse. Now, what he says here, which is fascinating, you would look at it, the first thing he says in this situation with this upheaval and how we can apply it to ourselves, the phrase, his soul is puffed up, points out the problem, which refers to anyone who is proud. What's the issue? His soul, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. Everything, what he's saying, he said, his soul is puffed up. He's proud. They're proud. That's what he says. Then it goes, so what you have here, a proud, this is what we know about a proud person across the line. A proud person relies on himself. They have that, they rely on themselves. That's what a proud person does. Whereas a righteous person relies on God. That's the difference. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. This, that, and the other. The circumstances are different. Whatever. No. The proud person relies on himself. The righteous person relies on God. Same situation, wherever it is. That's the difference. That's the difference. And so that's what he's saying here. Now, once you look at with this verse, it will take faith to wait patiently for God's plan to unfold. And the righteous believe that God will accomplish everything he said. The phrase, but the righteous shall live by faith, is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. So the New Testament just picked, the New Testament writers picked right up on this because it's God's answer of the issues going on. So he's telling us something. And so the 3 times it's quoted, it's emphasized first, number one, that it's emphasized that Christians should live by faith. That's Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. And the Pope says, this is to show you should live by faith, for the righteous live by faith. Go back to Habakkuk. Same thing I hope God could have said. Oh, by the way, you Galatians, the same thing I told Habakkuk hadn't changed. All right. Now, in the other verse, Hebrews 10, verse 38, 39, and says that Christians should live by faith. Same thing. He says you, in Hebrews, they're asking questions. He says, okay, here's the answer. Live by faith. You know, if you're like me, live by faith. And God notices there's a period after that. There's no comma in the and. There's a period. There you go. Okay. Okay. And so here's the picture. We have Habakkuk, everything coming to him. Now, what's interesting about this is that this verse, this same verse, prompted Martin Luther in 1517 to change his whole theology. It was this verse. And he had this, he's raised in the religious Catholic system at the time of all the things you had to do. And he, and if I understand it, there in his particular group, they'd go up steps and you'd stop at each step and you had a rosary or something and you'd pray and just, you know, and so it's something very rigorous like that. And it was this verse. No, the righteous should live by faith. You know, and it's like, what am I doing here? And it changed his theology, which led to the Protestant Reformation. This verse, us going to church and us worshiping like now, came from Martin Luther, understanding this verse. The whole Reformation started because Martin Luther saw what this verse said. So he spoke to him. God spoke to him. So this is really important application to us. And again, this is where the New Testament writers have used it 3 different times to express what God is, you know, in expressing what God is doing. And so what we have here, we see that the declaration of the righteous shall live by faith exposes the futility of world views without God. The world views are, we can do it, and this is how we can do it. God's view is like, rely on me and do what I tell you to do. So it exposes everything. This verse exposes everything in this world. And so the kind of faith that Habakkuk describes and that the New Testament authors promote is the continuing trust in God and clinging to God's promises even in the darkest days. That's what he's saying. Didn't change the situation. He said, no, you hold on to the promises, even in the darkest day, because he is doing something. The righteous person trusts in God, believes that God's promises are true, and that he will bring them to pass and will bring to pass his righteous purposes. I said this last week. All human effort without Christ is like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. I mean, let's stick with you. Oh, I can make this good. Yeah, man. But you're going down. You know, I mean, you did. Yeah, it looks, but you're going down. See, and that's what God is trying to tell us to give us an understanding. That's what he's telling Habakkuk. That's what he's telling him. Listen, you have to trust in what I said. Now, but like Habakkuk, those who guard are the ones responsible to stand for the truth of Christ. See, it's like, of all the world, the ones who stand for the truth of Christ, the ones who guard, are the ones who have the information. Martin Luther understood the just shall live by faith. And when he understood it, he embraced it, and he proclaimed it, and you have the Protestant Reformation. So the same thing is what we have here, that we are the ones, we're responsible because we understand the truth. We have a friend like Bill Wright, and you've heard me talk about him. He was just an amazing guy. The only thing, you should read the Bible. God tells you what to do. Never leave your house before you read the Bible and God tells you what to do. You know, now I'm working on it, but if I did that completely, I'd never leave the house. I mean, it's like, wait. But that's what he said. But he would make this point. It's like, he tells you something and says, you didn't understand it before, now you understand it. Then he'd go, now you're accountable. He'd do that every time he'd tell you some deep truth. He said, you get that? Yeah, I got it. He goes, now you're accountable. I just want to make a few notes and put it in my desk. I didn't, you know. He goes, no, now you're accountable. Now you understand. Now you're accountable. And so what we have here is God is telling us the same thing. He says, now Habakkuk, you know. Now you know. Now you are accountable. And then he goes on to says this. He goes, if you do anything else but what I tell you, it's only all of your labors is fuel for the fire. Just think, you're just chucking along. You're just sweat going everywhere, and you're, you know, it's just like, yeah, that's good. It's fuel for the fire. It's fuel for the fire. If you don't have Christ, it's a sinner. Look at Habakkuk. Now, we're still on chapter. He's still talking to Habakkuk. Okay? Chapter 2, Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 13. It's all closely in context. And it says this, has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? You're going, well, I don't, no, that's what, who said this? Who determined that the people's labor is fueled by the fire? Who did? The Lord Almighty did. He said, it is the fuel for the fire. I'm just letting you know it's fuel for the fire. So we know. So we're accountable because we know. Amen. So, well, I didn't know before I came in here. And I said, now you know. You go, thanks a lot, man. Yeah. But now you know. See? And he says, oh, my goodness. And so we know the truth. Therefore, since we know the truth, therefore our actions are dictated by our knowledge. I know the truth and I can do anything I want to. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. I mean, because if you say, I know the truth, but I just do the total opposite, do you really know it? Do you really know it? No, you don't. You just kind of gave a mental assent. Yeah. But there's no embracing of it, and so it's not part of you like that. So you really don't know the truth. You just heard some stuff. You didn't embrace it. So what we look here, but if we embrace the truth, our actions will be dictated by our knowledge. Amen? That's right. And so you can tell what people know by what people do. Right? You can tell. It's just this. And so we have this. And so this is what God is telling Habakkuk. This is what he's telling him. And he's putting things, and what he's doing, he's putting things in perspective. He's putting things in perspective so that Habakkuk has a better understanding. Because what Habakkuk is asking, God, what are you doing? And God is telling him what he is doing. See? And it's like, well, God, I don't like what you're doing. Well, now that's another issue altogether. I mean, that's a whole other sermon. You know, but this is, and so God, so you have God is saying, I'm telling you what's going on. You ask good questions, and I'm telling you what is happening, so you understand what is going on here. Now, as those who guard our ability to impact the world necessitates that we be in cooperation with God and His work. I want to change the world. Listen to what the Lord says and do what He says and cooperate with Him, and you'll be like Martin Luther and initiate the Protestant Reformation. What did Martin Luther? He did what God said. He read the Word, believed it, and acted on it, and acted on it. And so we can do this. We can do these things if we know the truth, and the truth impacts our behavior. And so when you see this, in verse 13, it says, the people's labor is only fuel for the fire. The nations exhaust themselves for nothing. Then the next verse, it says this, Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth, this is a truth. This is going to happen. We can be a part of it or not a part of it. But it's going to happen, and he just tells us. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Lord, this is not happening. I mean, it does not happen. He goes, but it will. But it will happen. And I'm going to use you in this mess to bring about what I'm going to do. Because this is what I'm going to do. And I just want you to cooperate with me in your spot. Because I am. This is what I'm doing. I'm letting you know what I am doing. So we have huge understanding. The nations labor themselves for nothing. It's fuel for the fire. And God says, but I'm going to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. This is where it's going. This should dictate our behavior. This should dictate our actions. We have an understanding here. Now, therefore, as those who guard, knowing what is important to God, it enables us to make wise decisions. Oh, what should I do? Which way should I go? What's God doing in the world? What is God doing with you? What is God doing in this situation? And it impacts the decision. It helps you make a wise decision because we have a proper perspective. We move towards filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the seas. This cooperates with God's desire. What's God's desire? That the earth, filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God, is the waters cover the sea. Every speck. Perfect example. This happened yesterday. I bought me a venti caramel macchiato. Okay, it's a sissy drink. Okay, it's a sissy drink. And I came in, so I was talking to Lyndon. We're discussing whatever, and so I'm sitting there holding this thing by the top and dropped it. Just dropped it. And it covered the carpet and the floor under the cabinets. I mean, you would think, you know, Asanumi from the Atlantic. I mean, there couldn't have been that much liquid in that cup. But it could, I don't know where it came from. I mean, it's like rolling down into the living room. It's like, oh my. And we went to clean it up. It was in every crack and cranny, and even, I mean, we're still finding spots where it is today. I mean, it's just everywhere. And it starts to smell, and it's, anyway. See, that's what, when you say, it's interesting, Lord, as the waters cover the sea, it gets in every crook and cranny. See, that's what God is saying. No, it's my knowledge is there's nothing going to miss my knowledge. And you're part of it where you are. You're part of the crooks and crannies, all right? God's going, the world looks at us, and you just can't get rid of us. We're everywhere, you know, and we're just in all the crooks and crannies. Well, that is kind of what he's saying here. So he wants us to know, you see what the nations are doing. So I'm telling you, it's fuel for the fire. It's for nothing. But what I'm doing is I'm going to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. His waters cover. See, that's what I'm doing. Lord, I don't see everything. Habakkuk says, I don't see this. Everything looks bad. No, you don't see the end. You're part of it, but you don't see the end. And I'm telling you right now what it is. So what we do here is we make that move. We cooperate with God's desires. That helps us to know what we are to do. Don't be part of the problem. We cooperate with God's desires. And it's really kind of simple. It's like, you know, we honor God in obedience, what he tells us. We honor God in obedience. And that's how we do this. We worship him and we praise him. You know, it's funny. I never realized how non-believers, you can drive them nuts by worshiping God and praise him. I mean, you're not even doing anything. You know, well, why would that bother you if I worship God? You know, but it does. You get some real negative feedback, I think. And so, but what God is saying, that's what you do. You be obedient, you worship, you praise me. You honor me, all right? Because what you're doing, you're telling everybody, no, God's got his hand on this. God's, and that's what the witness comes out to be. Now, what we have here, the world, the nations, and particularly our nation, is in extreme danger if we drift away from this truth. You just, well, and you see it all around us, the subtleties of the demeaning of Christianity, the subtleties in all sorts of little things. And it's like, God's going like, it's not going to work. It's not going to, because what I'm telling you I'm doing, you're minimizing. And what I'm telling you that's fuel for the fire, you're exalting. You go, so we have the big picture. And therefore, therefore we need to pay attention to it, because God will ultimately reveal himself. It's going to happen. He's going to reveal himself, little ways and big ways. We'll jump to Psalms 102, verse 15. It's just Psalms 102, verse 15 says, God says, the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear his glory. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We just know beforehand it's going to happen. And so we're moving forward. So that's Psalm 102, verse 15. Now, so when we see this, we have a different understanding, you know, the people in authority and the mighty people around us, and we have a different, and how this whole world operates. Well, we understand, guys, no, I'm going to bring this to fruition, and we know it. And so, because we know the truth, we find ourselves in awe. They're not in awe, but we are in awe. Look at Habakkuk. See here in Habakkuk, still chapter 2. Habakkuk 2:20. We know, no matter what's going on, but the Lord is in his holy temple, and all the earth keeps silent before him. You know, you're making too much noise. You don't know what you're doing. You're on a fast path to hell. You need to understand what's happening here, because the Lord is in his temple, and all the earth needs to keep silent before him. That means you listen to him. Not the world around you. You listen to him. See, Yahweh, the Lord, is approached in silence because we know his holiness and his majesty. Our realization of our dependency upon God's grace moves us into a total awe. See, if we're moving, understand God, and in total awe of God, it moves us in a direction. It moves and dictates our decisions because we know something. We know something. You know something. God's standing over you with a hammer and no, we know something. And we're moving in a direction because we know something. And we're paying attention. It's like, I don't have a lot to say. I need to know what God's saying. Look at Psalm 46:10. By the way, this is a great memory verse. If you hadn't memorized this verse, you'd memorize it. Psalms 46:10. God says, now, you know, this is kind of a word from the Lord that kind of answers everything, you know. And it's this, be still and know that I am God. Oh. Oh. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It's not like, well, maybe. We'll see what works out. No, I will be exalted. I'm telling you, I will be exalted. Now, therefore, just be still and know that I am God. It's happening. And he told Habakkuk, he says, look around you and see and be in awe. It's happening. Well, he's telling us the same thing. Look around and be in awe because it is happening. You know, I was going to say something. It's funny. I'm going to tell you. Well, I'll just tell you what I said. God has the trump card. Now, I meant that in playing cards. I didn't mean for our president. Just connect it. But God has the trump card. He's going to play his trump. You think it's out of control and then God's just going to reach in. He's going to play his trump card. I will be exalted. Be still. Know that I am God. All right? Don't be fret too much what's going on here. Now, so as we look at this, as the church, and here it comes, it's really a message to us, as the church, as believers, as God's witnesses to this world, we have knowledge with power. I mean, how many times have I said that? And how many times we've gone through Scripture and said the same thing? We have knowledge with power. Whether we do it, whether we operate in it or anything else, we have knowledge with power. And God wants us to embrace that. Embrace that. And so, we have knowledge with power. Therefore, because we have this knowledge with power, we have a certain responsibility to others. Okay? We are the caramel macchiatos spilt on the floor. It's in every crook and cranny. You try to get rid of it. It's just there. You know, I'm afraid we're going to have to move. I mean, the thing is, you still smell it. We're cleaning. See, it just permeates everything. But what saying that, no, we have this knowledge and power in the church, and God's plan is the church. God's plan is the church. That's fascinating. You know, well, what's God's plan? The plan is the church. God's plan is believers. And then he moves within his believers. And people, I just want Jesus to come back. It's like, I just want, you know, when Jesus comes back, all hell breaks loose. It's not a happy time. You know, not happy time. Okay? And so, we are carrying the message with power and authority, but we have a responsibility. The church has the knowledge, but we have a responsibility. Now, listen to what Habakkuk says. He figures it out. Habakkuk figures this out. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. He's heard all this, and he makes an assessment. Habakkuk makes an assessment. It's like us. You hear all this. You hear what the Word says, not necessarily me. You hear what the Word says, and you have to make an assessment. So here's this assessment. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. Lord. I mean, that's when you're talking, that's a good way to start your interaction with God. Lord. Lord. I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord. Repeat them. Talking about his deeds. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. And by the way, in wrath, remember mercy. Okay, me and you, we're good. Remember, I mean, that's what Habakkuk was saying. Okay, it's like, in our time, make them known. But in wrath, remember mercy. Me and you, we're good, okay? Because we know what you can do. We know what you can do. Now, this is a fascinating verse when you see. Now, again, this is Habakkuk's assessment based on what God told him. Now, I can ask the question, what is your assessment based on what God tells you? I can ask myself the question, what's my assessment based on God tells you? See, so Habakkuk summarizes his position and our position. We're all in the same boat. We have heard, therefore we are accountable. See, it's my buddy, Bill Wright. He goes, you know, if you're not walking with the Lord, you really shouldn't come to church. Because you're going to hear something that God says, and then you're held accountable. Do you realize when you walk into a church that what you hear, you're held accountable? I mean, this guy's just totally bent on cutting down church attendance. I mean, it's like, it's like, Lord, he was really, and Bill Wright was like, oh, God loves you and everything's going to work out. He goes, that's blasphemy. I wish he was here. Y'all would just love him. He's just like, he said, no, you say what God says, and then you are accountable. You hear the preachers, then you are accountable. And if you don't hear the preacher say something from the Lord, change churches. You have a bad preacher. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of empathy in him. But anyway, he would scare the eebie-jeebies out of you. You know, he really had a profound effect on me. But here, the point is, you're accountable. So what we see, that's what Habakkuk sees. This is exactly what Habakkuk sees. He says, we have heard, okay, therefore we're accountable. We know what the Lord can do, therefore we're in awe. See, there's an understanding. Then also what it says here, we also have authority, therefore we ask God to move in power as he did in the past. We have authority. Because I said, repeat what you did. Repeat what you did. See? Who else can ask that but us? Think about it. Who else can ask that but us? Those who know the truth. See? Now, this is an individual thing. So, We're the only ones that have the capacity that we know the truth and we can present the truth, which is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of God, because everything else is fuel for the fire. I mean, it kind of clarifies it, doesn't it? Kind of clarifies it. Therefore, as those who guard, isn't that interesting? That's how God considers us. The good Father's Day message. Okay. Those who guard. Fathers should be those who guard. They should be. You know. But it applies to everyone. Those who guard. We're responsible. And therefore, as those who guard, we declare all the promises of God in which we have knowledge. See? In which we have knowledge. See, it's like, well, I'm going to go to church this morning, and I'm going to hear something in which I am going to be held accountable for. You know? We always, but bottom line, here's something. This is where we start. Have to start here. We always proclaim the greatest truth in which we have knowledge. Every believer has knowledge for this, and every believer is accountable for this knowledge. And it's John 3:16. By the way, if you not have knowledge of this, the rest of it's meaningless. So this is what we proclaim. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but eternal life. That is the message that goes out and changes the world. Right? And then every message that the Lord says on top of that builds on that message. And as we learn from that, it builds on that message. Amen? And so, again, we should be encouraged, Bill Wright aside. Again, I love Bill Wright. I really do. Is that that? He's just very, very blunt. But we should be very, very encouraged, because what would we feel like if we're just going down a train that's running off a cliff and we're happy as we can be because we don't know what's going to happen? That's not happiness, you know. Would we really want to be in that position? And God says, no, I'm telling you what's going on. I'm telling you so you know and you can cooperate with me in doing what I'm doing. Amen? So God is just, it's happening. He's just letting us know the information so we can participate with him in the solution. Amen? So we shouldn't be afraid. I mean, the ones who should be afraid don't even know they should be afraid. You know? They're not afraid because they don't know. But they're not well off. They're in a terrible position. Okay? Ignorance doesn't save them. All right? What we have is knowledge and understanding, and therefore we have wisdom as we step forward. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you're responsible for John 3:16, and you can reread this, and then you'll be responsible for the rest of it. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. And God, we thank you that above all things, that when we look at this, we know you are working within the nations. You know, I mean, you're doing things that we don't understand. It's beyond our understanding. And God, we release that to you. But you also, God, say that you have told us individually certain things about how we should walk our particular life, and that you are protecting us in our situation, our sphere of influence, and working with us to do what you want us to do, to be salt and light, and protecting us and guiding us and leading us. And we thank you for that. And you will tell us about that. You will show us about that. And with that, we can understand that you tell us you have the nations under control. Well, then we rest in that. But then we walk with you because you speak to us specifically about our own situation. And we thank you for that. We thank you so much. We thank you for your word that you reveal these things to us. Lord, we wouldn't know this if you didn't reveal it. You are doing this anyway. You're just revealing to us what you're doing. The sharing of this message didn't create the situation. The sharing of the message is just a revelation of what you're already doing. We thank you, God, that you love us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.